The following previews are of graphic audio productions rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Deathlands Number 9, Red Equinox. The companions have lost one of their own. But now they have a new friend with knowledge of the pre-dark tech of the gateways.
What's your name, friend?
Rick. Rick Ginsburg. I was frozen so the doctors in the future might be able to cure me. But it looks like there isn't much of a future left here anymore.
But the Deathlands won't be the destination this time.
No, this can't be right. According to my calculations, we're smack dab in the middle of Russia. Somewhere near where Moscow used to be.
Phew. We in some deep shit now, Ryan.
And Ryan must now confront the Russian officer who allowed him to escape from the wastes of Alaska, Major Commissar Grigory Zimyanin.
Major Commissar, we have the information you wanted. Our scouts reported seeing a mean-looking man with only one eye, a tall, attractive woman with very red hair, and an old man with a walking stick.
Are your people sure about these three strangers?
There is no doubt.
So, they are here. Somehow the Americans and the one called Ryan Cotter have returned. And this time, I will be ready for them.
Deathlands Number 9, Red Equinox. 7 unabridged hours in graphic audio. The movie in your mind.
Deathlands Number 9, Red Equinox, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting March 2006. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advance copy. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
Mildred Winonia Wyeth, Doctor of Medicine. Born December 17, 1964. Height, 5 feet 4 inches. Weight, 136 pounds. Eyes, brown. Cryogenically frozen, December 28, 2000. After complications arising from minor abdominal surgery.
Sounds like an impressive woman.
She's the Black Angel of Death!
After a century of being cryogenically frozen, Dr. Mildred Wyeth is awakened by Ryan Cotter and his companions.
What is this place?
They call it the Deathlands.
The what?
Having stumbled upon a radsick Viking tribe in what used to be Minnesota.
God, everything's upside down.
Mildred now finds herself in the fight of her life.
She must die, Ryan! She is death itself and brings a pox upon our people!
Mighty Odin, save us from the destruction brought upon us! May this glorious blade find its mark true!
Killer Odin, save us all!
I can't believe they woke me up for this.
Deathlands Number 10, North Star Rising.
Deathlands Number 10, North Star Rising, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting March 2006. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advance copy. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
Graphic audio. A movie in your mind.
And now, our feature presentation. A 100 years ago, a rain of nuclear bombs obliterated civilization in a few minutes of blazing horror. It was the end of the world. Doomsday, sky dark. With the first nuclear explosion, the tissue-thin tapestry of civilization was ripped apart. The rule of law was replaced overnight with the somber, draconian edict of survival of the fittest. Cannibals hunted prey, cold hearts brutally raided farms, and slavers seized anybody they could as chattel. Electricity was seldom seen, starvation universal, rape a daily event, death the only known means of escape. This is America in the late 21st century. Welcome to the Deathlands. Cutting Audio presents James Axler's Deathlands. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Kate Torrey, Nanette Savard, David Coyne, Christopher Graybill, Christopher Walker, and Mort Shelby. Deathlands number 7, Dectra Chain. While I was yet all a rush to encounter the whale, I could see naught in that brute but the deadliest ill. From Moby Dick, by Herman Melville. Ryan Cotter opened his eye, then closed it again, feeling the certainty that to try to move would make him throw up. He took several rapid, shallow breaths, fighting the nausea, swallowing hard. Sweat beaded his forehead, and his stomach was cramping. A Matrans jump through one of the gateways always resulted in unconsciousness and a gut-churning sickness as every molecule was sucked into infinity and then reassembled in another gateway. Ryan had never made an attempt to understand the technology of the hidden Matrans chambers. Indeed, virtually all knowledge of anything technical or scientific had vanished on that January morning when the world disappeared under a nuclear haze, about 100 years ago. He could hear someone moaning and retching on the far side of the hexagonal room, which was protected with thick walls of colored armored glass. Ryan still didn't feel confident enough to risk opening his eye again. All but one of the 6 people with him had made several jumps before, and they knew what to expect. But for one of them, it was the first time. Man whose eyes see more had been until very recently the wise man, or shaman, of a sub-tribe of the Mescalero Apaches, who lived among the jagged red canyons of the land that had once been called New Mexico. He'd never been more than 50 miles from his birthplace in Drowned Squaw Canyon, but now he didn't know where he was. All he knew was that his head was spinning, as though Isun, giver of all life, had scooped out the pink-gray mush that filled his skull and taken it into its mouth, only to spit it out again. His mirrored sunglasses had fallen from his face, and he fumbled for them, not wanting to risk opening his eyes in case he saw... what? Nothing? Death?